Welcome to The Podyssey, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the greatest little independent cinema on the planet, The Odyssey in St. Albans. This podcast is a partnership between The Odyssey Cinema and Mix 92.6 FM, Hertfordshire's local radio station. Thanks for joining us. Hello and happy new year to all of our lovely, sexy listeners. You're listening to the first Podyssey of 2026. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm joined by Nick, Roberto and Sam, as always. Now, lads, Mix does a few things with youth talks. I know The Odyssey does. And they've got a little thing at the moment trying to get men to talk more. So, before we get into the films, how are we all? Sam, let's start with you. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for asking. I'm good.
That's good.
Can't believe it's 2026, I really started to feel, I don't know, my age.
That is the most futuristic sounding year I've ever lived in. That's insane.
It's weird, isn't it?
Roberto, how are you?
Yeah, good. Had a good Christmas. Had a good rest from the Odyssey shenanigans. I'm feeling ready to start being more productive this year. That's kind of my New Year's resolution. I feel like last year I coasted a bit. I was just kind of sleepwalking. Now I'm ready to start changing some things out. So, you know,
good for you.
Let's go.
I have not got into that mindset yet. I'm not up and at them. I'm still in kind of like, wish it was Christmas, hoodie up, watching films.
Still the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, or Twixmas or Crixmas or whatever it's called. Yeah. Nick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well. I've really busy in December. Had a good few rest days, straight back at it. But, you know, we're beginning to sort of get into some new films. And I like when the new year comes around as well, because you do feel that sort of urge to, like, begin again, essentially.
Yeah.
I like when things get, you know, fresh. And
you get a reset.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah, I get
resolutions
that.
This year, watch loads more movies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough for you, but yeah.
Yeah,
watch even more.
Right.
Right, so I tell you what, we're going to be talking about some of the films coming up in 2026 to look out for. We're also going to be talking a little bit about Hamnet as an ode to that. We've all watched Shakespeare in Love, which was the only other one I could think about which somebody acted Shakespeare in. I know there's a Kenneth Branagh one a few years ago. Didn't like it. Didn't want to watch it again. So we've all watched Shakespeare in Love. We'll have a bit of a watch-along about that. But first of all, how was Christmas at the Odyssey? What was going on at the cinema over the Christmas period?
Lots. We had our usual mainstays, our usual Christmas classics that we play. Lots of people turning up for Elf. Actually, in fact, Elf seems to just grow and grow as the years go on in terms of popularity, especially at the Odyssey. And, you know, as you know, Neil had our Polar Express pyjama party as always.
We did. We were there, me and Freddie. I saw you all looking very, very stressed, trying to make all the hot chocolates for everybody.
Yeah, I was on hot chocolate duty this year, so hopefully.
And very nice it was.
Hopefully everyone enjoyed that. Thank you. Thank you for that. So, yeah.
But, yeah, good stuff. So, right, that's done. We're up and at them. What's coming up in the next few weeks at the Odyssey that people can get themselves out of the house and go and see?
Well, we just had the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Where there was some kind of interesting wins, but I think a lot of it is probably what we might have expected. Hamnet is like kind of the big film this year, and that's probably the front runner in a lot of awards. Jessie Buckley won Best Actress, and we've got lots of screenings of that coming up soon at the Odyssey. It is.
Yeah, they're selling out.
Yes, they are selling out quick, so make sure you get your tickets. It is a fantastic film.
Have you seen it? You've seen it, have you?
Yes, me and Nick saw it actually quite a while ago because it was at the BFI Film Festival. So we got to see it early, but it is truly incredible and very worth a watch for sure.
I'm not. It's gonna be devastating. I know that everyone said it's like really sad.
Yeah, because it kind of focuses on this isn't a spoiler. Right? It's focused on the death of one of Shakespeare's children and kind of the impact that had on him and stuff like Paul Mescal, Shakespeare.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So he didn't win a Golden Globe, but Jessie Buckley did, who plays Anne Hathaway or Agnes Hathaway in this film. Yeah.
I mean, she does an incredible performance. I mean, me and Sam were in tears when we saw it. And
in tears.
Yes, was everyone.
Everyone was around us.
I have heard
not
this.
Not just us. Yeah. And it was quite a substantial experience for film, really. It's so well done in technicalities and art, but also it's like very like healing as well. Like to watch, it's very grief sort of stricken, but you just sort of will, you just have to go and watch it.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like it's I don't know if you'd class it an indie movie. Not too much.
It's fairly big because it is backed by Spielberg.
Yeah, right.
And I think, but it doesn't feel like a blockbuster or anything when you're watching it. It's kind of grand in its emotional impact, but yeah. It still feels very like small and contained and just about this one family.
Like if you ever wanted to see a film that was a piece of art,
this is the one. Wow, praise indeed. Praise indeed. I mean, I think like you said, it's going to be busy because it's everywhere, isn't it? It's like winning awards. It's like you can't escape it. And of course, Paul Mescal, everybody loves him in everything. Oh, I didn't love him in Gladiator 2, but everyone loves him in everything.
I think that wasn't his best.
No. Outshone by Denzel, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. as to be expected, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, Hamnet, loads of viewings coming up then. What else have we got coming up that you guys are excited about this next few months?
Well, I'm tentatively looking forward to, in terms of going a bit more on the large scale of things, I'm tentatively looking forward to Avatar 3. Because I've had a bit of a James Cameron re-watch recently. I've watched both Terminator films, both the good Terminator films, of course. Re-watched Aliens as well. I'm kind of like, I always used to be a bit of a James Cameron, like, I know he's too mainstream, I don't like him. But like, rewatching it, he is undeniably like a master of the craft, especially as action goes in Hollywood. It's like, it's pretty good. So I'm actually going to start my revisit of the Avatar films soon. I need to carve out time though.
Because they're long, right?
So, they are, all of them.
This one's quite quickly after the second one, right? So the first one, then years, then the second one, pretty recently.
Only 2022 I think that one came out, so it was a bit, and it's not like the second one was a legacy sequel or like kind of really playing into the whole it's 10 years since the last one. It very much was just like, all right, you remember what happened in the last one, back at it
next day.
It was kind of weird in that I guess it's just because he filmed them like back to back and then he's like just pumped these last two out.
They were essentially waiting for VFX timeline to
catch up
with the quality that he wanted because of the water that was used and the quality of the water VFX. And then suddenly it's like, well, we've got that now, so we can pump these out.
Yeah, now this one's fire, so that's
fire, let's do that. Pain in the yard.
I really enjoy the action of Way of Water, and I think revisiting it now I'd probably enjoy it more. So I'm kind of looking forward to that 3-hour runtime be damned. It's kind of in terms of the bigger blockbuster stuff coming up. Those are always good to watch in the cinema anyway, you know, big dragons flying around and stuff. You can't really go wrong with that.
So, yeah, some big ones in January then.
I think so, yeah. Towards the end.
Yeah.
Blockbusters. As well as, I was going to say, for me, things that have also been represented through Golden Globes, two films, Sentimental Value. Mm. Which Stellan Skarsgård won. Was it supporting?
Swedish film, right?
Norwegian. Joachim Trier movie, who also made
The Worst Person in the World,
which was another fantastic movie as well, starring Renata Rinsieve. I didn't know much of her work really before that, but it definitely makes me want to watch more of what she's doing because she's like incredibly great actress, and then you're sort of sticking with a powerhouse of like Stellan Skarsgård. And it's just sort of just a story of like mismatched love between parent and daughter. Like they don't really get along too well, but they're sort of brought back and there's an opportunity for them to create something together. And it's sort of about reconciling their relationship, but whether they sort of do that or not, you know, that's, you know, and also it's not, I don't mean dry in a bad way, but like quite just a
understated
film. And it's also got Elle Fanning in it as well,
and she's really great in it.
But the second film I wanted to mention is one I've seen both of these, but Marty Supreme.
Tim Chalamet won best actor, right? So Skarsgård was best supporting.
Yeah,
Tim Chalamet best actor.
It's confusing as well, just anyway, because that's neither a musical or a comedy. But yeah. It's in that category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's an original. Like it's a sports movie. It's a drama film. It's an action film. It's a gangster movie. It's a lot of these things.
It's worth a watch.
Worth a watch. Timothée Chalamet's performance was one of the best things in there. And there's just so many wild things that happen in that movie that you didn't think were possible almost. Like you haven't seen it on screen in a long time. Worth a watch entirely.
So yeah, big January.
Yeah.
Big loads of big ones. Yeah, so I'm sure that Timothée Chalamet want to be popular as well. It's funny, like with the Timothée Chalamet films, they get so hyped up. It almost puts me off on a tiny bit. I don't know. I know it sounds daft, not in a kind of, but I'm always a bit like, oh yeah, that thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, no.
See, what's weird, the thing is that he's been in that, like, in the industry for like 10 years already.
Yeah.
Because he still feels brand new.
Yeah. Interstellar, I think, was one of his first.
Yeah, it was.
It's crazy.
That was more than 10 years ago.
12 now.
Yeah.
Nice trick if you can do it, though. He still seems fresh and brand new, doesn't
he? And especially if you shave your head and then start doing a bunch of crazy marketing stunts, if you've seen those.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
He's been borrowing from the Odyssey acted virals, I think.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, if he has, it's going to loop back around because we will be parodying some of his stuff that he's been up to. But I have enjoyed his, especially that hip hop song he did was particularly
amazing,
enjoyable with SD Kid. I do recommend that if you haven't.
He's done really. How can I explain this? Basically, he's married to like a real reality, or goes out with a real reality kind of tabloidy. Yeah. Mm. But he's really retained this kind of, oh, Timothée Chalamet's a great actor. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of done well to tread both, because he's in that real celebby, Kardashian-y, Jenner-y world.
Well, it's interesting because at one of the award shows, he like thanked her, and it seemed like for supporting him. And it seemed like very sincere, and I saw someone going like, oh, why do people think it's like a whole fake thing? And it kind of, I don't know, it's hard these days to like tell what's real, what's not.
It's not that I think it's fake. It's just that it's sort of, I don't know, it's nowadays.
It's showbizy.
Yeah, it's very show. Yeah. So for such a kind of, because if he's in a gang, he's kind of aiming at like, you know, Anthony Hopkins-y. He's an actor, isn't he? He's looking to be one of the great actors. Mm. And it's sort of quite interesting that he's ploughing on with that, and it doesn't seem to affect that, the fact that he's also in this slightly strange reality TV world as
definitely well. It's interesting. I'm sure there'll be a documentary about it soon on Netflix.
Well, look, thank you, chaps. That is what's coming up that you can go and see in the next few weeks. Coming up in a second, we've all had a look at Shakespeare in Love to kind of prepare us for Hamlet. It's tenuous, but it is Shakespeare, right? That's probably all they've got in common, but we're going to have a little talk about that after a quick break. Hello and welcome back to part two of the January Podyssey, where, because Hamlet is coming out and we all need to learn a little bit more about Shakespeare, we have kept ourselves warm in January by having a watch of Shakespeare in Love. I liked this film. It's so British and almost feels a bit low budgety. And you see kind of actors that you recognise from British sitcoms and stuff in it, which is mad. But then you've also got like, here comes Ben Affleck.
That was crazy.
Here comes Gwyneth Paltrow kind of thing.
Martin Clunes was the funniest for me. Because I was like, I cannot believe
when he shows up.
What the hell is he doing here?
Yeah, like most faces that talked, you're like, I've seen you in like something. Like maybe as a, you know, baddie in Only Fools and Horses or something. But I've seen you.
I only know Tom Wilkinson to be like a British gangster.
Yeah.
Well, he's sort of a gangster in this, I suppose. Yeah. Well, like asking for his money.
Yeah, well, to jump the gun a bit, he was like my favourite arc of the film. Was that guy going from like, you know, grubby gangster guy to like, I will be the best actor in this part. So
what do we think then? Nick, let's start with you. What do you make of it?
It was an interesting watch. Like I enjoyed it in the way that I probably would enjoy a Shakespeare play. Which is like, I found it to be partly funny, partly romantic, but also didn't make a whole lot of sense. That's how I would sort of view a Shakespeare play.
It asked quite a lot of you in terms of in jokes about Shakespeare. So it'd be like, here's somebody I've met who's clearly a real person from history.
It's like it's like in Oppenheimer when they introduced like the universe of scientists. And I was like, I don't know any of these playwrights. I'm just
I think with Oppenheimer, it gets away with it because it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't like say their name. Right, it's like, oh wow, look, it's Einstein. It's like, oh yeah, Einstein shows up. But in this, there's like, oh, this theater owner, Babbage, look at him, and now he's fighting with the other guy, and you're like. Yeah. Who are these people? I don't know their beef that's been going on behind
you. Well, have you ever been to watch a Shakespeare play? And I think, if I think this through, I don't think I have. But if you've watched a film of a Shakespeare play, so I've did a few of those, like Romeo and Juliet, of course. That Macbeth one with Fassbender a few years ago, which was very atmospheric and good. Kenneth Branagh in about five of them.
Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, with
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, and Denzel as well, I think.
Maybe.
But
I can't remember that much.
I kind of enjoyed them, but the reason I'm mentioning those is there's always an element of the audience kind of chuckling along and making sure that you know they're chuckling along because they kind of get it. And I feel like Shakespeare in Love has a bit of that going on. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, as we were saying, sort of the actors in there, like, you find yourself liking them because of what we already know them from. Like, Judi Dench playing Queen Elizabeth I.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, oh, you love Judi Dench because she knows Shakespeare like the back of her hand. But she had nothing to do in that movie, like, whatsoever, like, except save the day at the end. Gwyneth Paltrow, Viola de Lepis.
She was good at it, Gwyneth Paltrow, I thought. Good English accent, paving the way for Sliding Doors, which she was in with a very good...
around that. Should she have won Best Actress for it the year it came out?
Is that what
she
did?
I think she was up against Meryl Streep, Kate Blanchett for something. Maybe I'm mixing this up. And then I think also our colleague Camilla was talking about how she beat... Is it Fernando Torres from...
No, it was a different Brazilian actress in Central Station.
Yeah, it was the same director, Walter Salles, I believe, who directed I'm Still Here recently. She beat the actress who was up for that as well, and Camilla was not having that. And, you know, I haven't seen those films, but, like, there's a bit of a controversy. And this also won Best Picture against...
That is shocking.
That is mad. Ryan. When you look it back, if... Yeah, it's an unlikely... It's good. It's genuinely good. It's an unlikely Oscar winner. You know, like, it's almost a bit of a fun, silly Sunday afternoon.
Well, it was definitely like a political decision.
It's almost like the
film decision, I think.
Possibly. And I also think, like, they saw the title had Shakespeare in it and they were like, that must be the highest.
Yeah, that must be good. And Judi Dench is in it as well. So, yeah, this is going to be, it's been on the empty clothes. We can't admit we don't get this.
Yeah. I think that, I'll say this. So I would say, for the first like half an hour, 45 minutes of this film, I was actually like, I was quite surprised by like the verve and that kind of 90s style life the film had of like everyone's running around and going, Shakespeare's going on, and then, you know, the camera's moving around everywhere. And I was like, okay, there's a bit of verve, a bit of life to this. And then for me, I quite liked the silliness, I liked the comedy. And then as soon as the romance story hit, I was like, I don't buy this. And I think it's just because I just thought the writing between them was like there wasn't much there in the actual romance of the story.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's the film is like playing out multiple Shakespeare plays.
Yeah.
Through his life, and then like retroactively saying, "Oh, I'm going to write a play about that."
Yeah. Romeo and Juliet was based on a true story, apparently.
Yeah. Which is not true, I don't think, and that's fine. I don't think it's claiming to be historically accurate in the slightest, which it isn't.
Right. So I guess for people listening, it should give people the premise of this film, right? So Ralph finds his Shakespeare? No.
Joseph
finds his Shakespeare. Sorry. Joseph finds his Shakespeare, sorry. He has kind of lost his spark because he's not feeling it anymore and he hasn't got a muse and he's not really in love with the writing or in love with the world. Gwyneth Paltrow, who's a kind of noble woman-y type, has always wanted to be a Shakespearean actor, but has to be a man to do it, I think.
Because so, they wouldn't let women on stage back in the day, which I thought was actually an interesting
iteration
of that.
I think they were going to go there, but they did. So that was interesting.
Yeah. So she then dresses up as a male actor, acts in one of Shakespeare's plays. He kind of falls in love with her, and that gets him fired up, and he starts writing plays again, essentially.
Mm.
That's what happens in his style. Right, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because you see, it's like he writes Romeo and Juliet based on his own romance with this woman, which I feel like Romeo and Juliet generally considered, I think, the cornerstone of like most romantic fiction, possibly. I think if you're gonna imply that this romance was what inspires that play, it needs to be a bit more than just like he goes into a room, and Imelda Staunton guards the room overnight.
Yeah, like in a nice way. I genuinely enjoyed watching it unfold and letting it wash over me, but there was zero jeopardy. Like from the second they met, it's like, okay, these are 100% getting together. Not much in the way. Colin Firth is in the way as a kind of rough wearing baddie who struts about in boots. Being mean.
Earring on his.
Yeah, a bit like a pantomime baddie. I quite liked him in it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that element of it.
It is interesting because I think since it's playing out as if it's like historical to some degree, in Romeo and Juliet, they do just fall in love like instantly, like as soon as they see each other. But I guess it's not under the guise of fiction. This is like as if it's actually happening. So when it actually happens with him and Gwyneth Paltrow, it's like, what are you talking about? No chance.
Yeah.
They're in love now.
Yeah.
It's 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
They're already in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see where it's going. But yeah, I enjoyed it, I think. I also, speaking of stomping about the place, quite enjoyed Ben Affleck stamping about in his rough.
Yeah.
Sounding mainly sort of like a Dick Van Dyke-y a little bit.
Yeah. I think for me with this film, I enjoyed the supporting arcs more than the actual romance of the film. Like, I liked that Ben Affleck's character, like, wanted to be the lead, and he kept getting, like, sidelined and he didn't know it. And then he actually comes around to, like, oh, no, the play's actually good. Like, and it was kind of seeing with, like, supporting characters, you have more license to kind of play their arcs a bit fast and loose. So it was, like, nice seeing, you know, again, Tom Wilkinson, like, growth into actor in the play.
I enjoyed Mark Williams, who plays, well, for what I find, know him from Arthur Weasley from the Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
He has the stunt.
I
knew it was happening. I knew it was going to happen. He just pulls out the bag as soon as he gets on stage to sell out a crowd, like, and pulls off the prologue and the epilogue of the play. And then, I don't know, it's just one of those like Hollywood things of being like, I actually really like you, dude. Like, I like the arc you've had here.
Yeah, crowd pleasing writing going on there.
So yeah, good film, I thought. I enjoyed it. Mad film. Barmy that it won so many awards, but genuinely enjoyable. If you fancy checking it out at home before you head over to see Hamnet, it is on iPlayer at the moment. So it's worth a look. Chaps, we've got a lot to get into. Any more final thoughts on Shakespeare in Love before we move on?
I found it interesting. Obviously, you know, it's not trying to really do Shakespeare's life. And it's also difficult to because we know, like, I don't know, maybe 3 pages of information about Shakespeare's actual life. But it does, it's very much the opposite of Hamnet, which is about him and Anne Hathaway and how they had this kind of incredible love and family. Whereas in this film, he's like, oh yeah, I got a wife back home.
Don't mind her. She doesn't appear, I don't think.
Don't appear.
I didn't quite understand that. Was like,
it's only mentioned once.
I didn't know if that was supposed to be like accurate to history or if like was there some conflict with the relationship. I guess I'll find out in Hamnet. But
just don't know. Really,
I guess we'll never know.
Also, from what you've started saying about Hamnet, from what I've read, it would be quite mental if Colin Firth started stomping about in a rough, waving his sword around in the middle of Hamnet. Contrast if you like at home. Have a look at it. It's on iPlayer. But we'll be back in a second because the main reason for today's show, we're going to look at some of the stuff to get excited about film-wise in 2026. Hello and welcome back to part three of the January policy. Part three already. God, this new year is running away with us. So, speaking of the new year, the chaps have been looking ahead at what is exciting in the world of film to come in 2026. So without further ado, which I think was probably a Shakespeare thing that he invented, Sam, let's start with you.
Sure. So there's a new film coming called Project Hail Mary, which stars Ryan Gosling, and it's from the directors of the Spider-Verse films, but it's live action. And it's based on a book by Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian. So it's the same kind of tone and comedic style as that. I read the book a couple of years ago, and it's really good fun. It's kind of, it's a really weird book. In The Martian is kind of like more scientifically accurate sci-fi and kind of down to earth, whereas this one is a bit more bonkers and there's aliens and stuff. And he's like a high school chemistry teacher or something, and he ends up being the only guy who can go into space to save humanity.
Oh, I love it.
And it's just, I love it. It's crazy, but it's great.
And I think I'll watch anything with him. And I think Ryan Gosling is so watchable. I think he's just, he's proper fun. He's understated. Yeah, excellent. So that's Project Hail Mary.
Project Hail Mary. That's like March.
Okay. Early soon. Yeah, put me down for that. I'm definitely in. Right, good one. To start with, Roberto, what you got?
So the first one I've got up is The Bride, which is directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal, and funnily enough, stars Jessie Buckley as the bride of Frankenstein's monster.
Gosh, she's busy, isn't she? Old Jessie Buckley.
Yeah, she's been cropping up quite a lot. And this looks like a really cool role for her, where she's the bride of Frankenstein's monster, played by Christian Bale.
He is gonna go nutso as Frankenstein, isn't he?
What's funny is I saw the trailer. I usually avoid trailers, but it caught me in the cinema. And he's not green, but he's got the proper like stitch around the head, like talks funny, like Frankenstein's monster thing going on. And it kind of looks like those two just get up to a bit of a ruckus, a bit of a rampage. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal's some rich guy who's I'm completely basing this off like just very brief trailer I saw. But it looks to be a lot of fun. I actually haven't seen Maggie Gyllenhaal's last film, which also starred Jessie Buckley, The Lost Daughter.
I
heard that was really great. And this just looks to be a lot of fun. So,
that's so good. When's that coming out, Robert?
I believe that is coming out around February, March.
Excellent.
As well,
so. There are some good ones, aren't you, Ren?
Yeah.
And also, spare thought for Christian Bale's poor family. He's probably been living as Frankenstein for the past year to get ready for this role.
Yeah.
Poor sods. Right, Nick.
Well, my first one is a film called Waste Man. Which is coming out on February 20th.
Good name.
This is directed by a guy called Callum McCaw, I believe. But the story is sort of two sort of upcoming actors, Tom Blyth, who we saw in the Hunger Games movie, The Ballad of Solomon, Birds of Snakes, and also David Johnson, who was in The Long Walk. Rye Lane as well, who was one of my favourite films.
Oh, great film, yeah.
Is sort of about David Johnson's character, who's about to come out of prison, and he's got about a year left on his sentence, and he might get released on good behaviour. But Tom Blyth's character comes in, and he begins to be cellmates with him, and he's got a bit of a dodgy dealing going on behind the officers' backs. And I think it's sort of knowing that he wants to get out of there, he's sort of trying to teeter on the edge of like whether he sticks with the behavior or gives in to the sort of divulging dirty behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, risking his future. And it just looks really, really cool. It's also produced by Philip Barantini, who recently did the Adolescence miniseries.
Oh, wow.
Boiling Point movie.
Oh, okay.
Both of those.
Yeah. Well, he was the one-shot director guy.
Well, sure he is. And he also did the Boiling Point mini series.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, I haven't seen Adolescence, but I really enjoyed Boiling Point, the movie with Stephen Graham. And they're both such gritty, like, true Brit crime drama. Well, not the movies, but this looks to be at least one of those ones that I really will enjoy when it comes out.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds really good, actually. Not a lot of laughs, I'd imagine, but it sounds good. No. Yeah. Yeah, nice. God, we've got some crackers coming up, haven't we? Yeah, Sam. Yeah. Sam, what's your next one?
So it's a big year for like big directors. There's loads of kind of big names coming back. Steven Spielberg's got a new film this year, and it's the first in a while that's like
an original idea. And I think it's his own original idea that he, I don't think he fully wrote it. I think he's co-written it, but it's this big kind of audacious sci-fi epic called Disclosure Day, starring Josh O'Connor.
Yes.
We don't really know anything about it. There's a trailer, but nothing, it doesn't really give anything away other than I think we're getting a visit from some aliens.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be that would be quite Spielberg-y if that happened.
So that's coming out in, I think, June or July.
That would be good.
Post June, great.
That would definitely be good.
And yeah, I think I'm very excited for that because it's kind of, I love Spielberg doing space stuff.
Yeah, so same.
Always a treat. Yeah.
Definitely. Nice. And Josh O'Connor's great.
Yeah, always great.
Yeah, another good one. Roberto, what's next on your list?
My next on the list is, I guess, again, big director. Big director, a recent director, I'd say, Robert Eggers, who you might know from doing The Witch, The Lighthouse. He did Nosferatu. Was it last? No, that was 2 years ago now.
Last year. Balmy Nosferatu.
Nosferatu was a bit, I think he got a bit of a mixed reception even among his fans. I really liked it.
Quite enjoyed watching it, yeah.
He always delivers a really good atmosphere, and his next film was called Werewolf.
Right.
And
does what it says in the tin.
I mean, you know, his atmosphere with a werewolf running around, bit of gore, bit of like music going, you know, that's really reductive to Robert Eggers' filmmaking style. But basically, I think that I really like him as a director, and I'm looking for a good werewolf film. So I am looking forward to that. I think it's like medieval England. So
I was going to say that feels like he would set it.
Yeah.
Around then.
So that should be great. I'm not sure when that is coming out, but it is slated for 2026. So
I feel that could be maybe a little Podacy night out. Oh, a few drinks and watch The Werewolf. Yeah.
A few ales, a few tankards.
Yeah. A few meads and then don't walk home on your own. Yeah. Right, Nick. What's next on your list?
I'm glad we're along the same lines here because I also had The Bride and Disclosure Day on my last. My next one then is a film called I Love Boosters. This is a film directed by Boots Riley, who did a movie called Sorry to Bother You, starring Keith Stanfield. That, in that year, was one of my favourite movies because it just went everywhere. Like, you would not know the plot from watching the trailer. And I don't think there's a trailer out for this one yet, but it's got a stacked cast. The imagery of it looks so beautifully bright color palette, like everything yellow or blue in the sort of way it looks. Kiki Palmer's in it. Taylor Page, who is just in the Welcome to Derry It series as well. So he's got like quite a knowing cast. Like, you know, you even know them and love them. I think Lakeith Stanfield's back as well. But just from the fact that Sorry to Bother You was such a insane, surreal comedy drama film, I definitely am looking forward to this one. I think this one's more about, I think when I was reading up on it, it said it was about a crew of called the Velvet something or other that had just basically loved to rob on the LA streets. But yeah, like I said, knowing the style that he went with his previous film, is something I'm looking forward to this year. There's never a release date as such, but 2026.
Yeah, I like it. Sure. I like the sound of it a lot, actually. Yeah. Right, Sam, what else you got for us?
So another big director this year is Alejandro González Iñárritu, who did Birdman and The Revenant.
Oh, wow.
So he's back with another...
God, The Revenant was another tough going.
And this stars Tom Cruise, which is his first film not playing Maverick or Ethan Hunt in 10 years.
I've got a theory.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've interrupted you, but I've got a Tom Cruise theory. Tom Cruise is a really, really good actor, genuinely. Like, that sounds like a silly thing to say, like you shouldn't have to say it, but because it feels like sometimes he does his best to appear as Tom Cruise in films like Mr. Bob stuff, you forget that, you know, Born the 4th of July, Clarol.
Yeah.
I think he's going to come straight out the gates and get an Oscar pretty quick for his next one.
Say that,
This is a strict drama. It's not an action film. It's called Digger, but we don't really know anything about it more than the title and that those two making it.
Oh, that's exciting.
Very exciting.
I'm a real Tom Cruise apologist. I know people have their views on him. I know the Scientology thing. Some people have an issue with it, whatever. He's a genuine, like, star. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you see that he's in something, it's like, you still get a bit, whoa, no way. Yeah, actual Tom Cruise.
From a movie star.
Yeah.
And he supports movies a lot.
He does, well, definitely, yeah.
Like when Sinners came out, he was like really bumping up the optics for that and everything about, you know, proper people making movies or, you know, movie makers.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that with him as well.
I like his positivity and enthusiasm thing. I know there's some people think it's a bit much. I like the fact that I feel like if he came in here, you know, what are you doing, guys? Oh, I'm making a podcast about films. Great. Love it. Love it. I think he'd be so into it. Like, I'm into it. Yeah.
Just to match his energy.
Let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah. No problem. No problem. I'll have him sat here by February. No problem. Right. Roberto, what you got?
All right. And number one, this is about to get very me, very niche. So apologies. And second, I'm sorry, I can't resist this. My most anticipated film for this year for me is Resident Evil, which is directed by Zach Cregger. Now, if you know Resident Evil from any of the live action films that come out or the Netflix series, get rid of that. Throw that away. If you've been in the proximity of me for the last 2 years, you know I got obsessed with this series a couple of years ago. I played the first game or the remake of the first game.
I like how you phrased it, right? If you've been in the proximity of me.
And the first game is like now in my top five favorite games, I think. It's so good. And then I've spent the last 5 months just marathoning all of them.
So give us an explanation, Roberto. The name's sort of a bit of a clue, I guess. What's going on in Resident Evil, the game, and what will go on in the film?
Well, what I like about the series is that each game is kind of different to the last, usually different protagonists. Sometimes they come back and stuff. But essentially, the overview of Resident Evil is that there's a corporation called Umbrella, and they essentially do really shady experiments that usually go wrong and ruin the lives of people in a mansion or a police station or a lab or something. And you play as a character who is quite out of their depth and essentially has to overcome the odds, and usually starts with zombies, probably find some mutant frogs later on, and then usually fight an eldritch abomination at the end. And Zach Cregger's kind of saying he's not going to retread the games. He's going to do an original storyline. But he wants to bring that same level of fear you get in Resident Evil, where you have no items, no resources, but you just have to press forward. And I think he's the perfect director for it, because he knows how to start his horror films really suspenseful and then slowly bring them into these bombastic.
So this will be like a full-on horror.
I think so. Right. And a bit of camp, because they always have a bit of camp. And if you've seen the social media, you know, we did a sketch parodying Resident Evil. That's how much I like it. So, yeah, not much else to say there. I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Nick?
In along the lines of, like, franchise, you know, films and stuff, I think I have to go with this as one of my anticipated movies, which is Avengers Doomsday. Mm-hmm. You know, the quality of MCU has lackened a little bit over the past couple of years, but they're bringing back the X-Men, man.
It's got a bit of a job to do this one, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, whatever storyline they have involved or written out, if they've even finished the script, then that will just come when it comes. But I just been seeing the trailers, like, because I saw Avatar the other day in the BFI IMAX, and I managed to see the X-Men trailer on screen in 3D, and to see Cyclops in the blue X-Men leotard from the 90s with the yellow strap. I was just like, oh my God.
So do we know who's playing the X-Men in this one?
It's going to be the Fox cast from the 2000s. Ian McKellen's back.
No way.
Patrick Stewart's back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's probably a lot more reveals. I feel like they'll probably bring Anna Paquin back as Rogue, but that's a lot of confirmed things.
Was McAvoy involved in that, James McAvoy?
That was a reboot.
Right, sorry. Okay, yeah.
X-Men first class.
They could do anything really, and I think at heart
I'm still that guy. Like, I'm still a fan, and I just hold out, maybe not hopes, but you know, I love to see it, and it's something I look forward to. The concept of the time and like counting down, it does get me excited for it.
Yeah,
it doesn't come out till December,
and also you don't have to be like, sorry about it. It's one of those, isn't it, where some people are getting a bit bored of superhero films.
Yeah.
But if a lot of people still love them, also, people who make them are not daft. They know the climate which they're releasing this into. So I'm sure they'll be very, very careful with it. So, I think you're right to be excited.
Robert Downey Jr.'s back, and they bring back all these actors, and it's like, you know, I get what you're going with here, but God damn it, have Captain America back on the screen again. Like, hell yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Also, speaking of James McAvoy, saw him outside a pub in Crouch End once, and there's something about, I guess, being a Hollywood actor. Before I noticed it was James McAvoy, I basically thought, who is this almost futuristically doesn't look like he belongs on a London street man? Do you know what I mean? He just looked so big and sort of handsome and put together and like sturdy. And I was like, it's almost a bit like, there's, I think, an aliens here. Oh, no. Right, it's a Hollywood film star. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry, that little aside. Right, we'll do a couple more each because we've got some really good ones here. So, Sam.
Sure. On the other side of the superhero fence, DC have got a couple of films coming out this year. I'm a big DC guy. I'm very excited for Supergirl. That is the follow-up to Superman from last year.
Who's going to be Supergirl?
It is, what's her name?
Millie Alcock.
Millie Alcock, who's an Australian actress, and she had a little cameo at the end of Superman, which I very much enjoyed. It got me very excited for this new film. It's based on a comic run by Tom King, who's kind of one of DC's top guys, and he's really a really great writer, and it's quite a heartfelt approach to the Supergirl story, which I won't go too much into for spoilers, but yeah, I'm just really excited to see
that'll be big. That'll be big, right?
I hope so. Yeah, it's a really interesting character, very different from Superman, but they've got an interesting relationship.
So they exist in the same world. Right, okay.
Yes, they're cousins. So we'll see how that all plays out. But yeah, should be good fun. And there's lots of Crypto the Superdog as well in there. Yes.
I'm also really interested because it's directed by Craig Gillespie. Did I, Tonya, and the Cruella movie as well.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Cruella was great.
Yeah.
It's really good fun. Yeah.
Nice.
So that should be fun.
I think so.
Yeah, okay, good. Roberto, one more from you.
So we've gone from, I'd say, fairly mainstream picks to now we are going straight to, we're going to Japan, guys.
It's animated by any chance?
It's not, well, a character, there will be an animated character. My most anticipated film of the year probably is Godzilla Minus Zero, which...
good name, by the way.
Okay.
you don't think so?
Well, I think... So this is a sequel to Godzilla Minus One, which was the Japanese film that released... the last Japanese Godzilla film that released a few years ago now. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, this is the first time we've had a Japanese Godzilla continuity and an American Godzilla continuity, like, going at the same time. So that's going to be confusing, but, you know... the Japanese Godzilla films always, especially the last few ones, have been really good. Godzilla Minus One was amazing.
It was.
Deserved all the praise it got. This is a direct sequel with the same director, Takashi Yamazaki. I was going to say, it's like this director made a deal with the devil to make really great pop films, but they always had to have really confusing titles like Lupin the Third, The First, and Godzilla Minus One, and now Godzilla Minus Zero,
which doesn't really make any sense.
Do you think there's a bit, this is showing my ignorance, it's a bit of a Japanese like translation thing. Do you think if the Japanese title, that makes a bit more sense, maybe? I don't know.
I think it could be. But whatever you think of the title, Minus One was great, and it's bringing back the same cast of human characters. And you don't usually get to say this often with big monster films, but I'm really excited to see that cast come back, and I'm excited to see not only Godzilla again and see if he's as ferocious as he was last time, or maybe he's chilled out a bit. Also, possibly what other monsters they're going to bring in. But what I really hope it does, and I think it will, is retain the same like core, moral core and hopeful core that Minus One had, that made it such a cathartic like blockbuster experience for me. And I do have faith because I love Takashi Yamazaki from the films I've seen of his. He's really great at big franchise stuff in Japan, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love a big monster film in Japan, don't they? A lot of their films have enormous monsters.
Yeah, and I think they're very significant because the original Godzilla is like one of the most important Japanese films ever because of the, you know, not to bring things down too much, the symbolism of the atomic bomb and how Godzilla parallels that. Yeah. And he's like kind of always, even when he's at his silliest, there's always that kind of thing in the background. And Minus One had that, but also reckoned with like survivor's guilt and stuff. So
he's got layers.
Definitely. He's an onion.
Because the Meg and the Meg 2 and that Rampage, the mad one with the Rock and the giant monkey. pretty mad films, although Statham, Ovs, our man. I did enjoy The Mayor Gathering too. But those films both did crazy numbers because they're so big in Japan and China and stuff. They love a big monster over there.
Yeah,
right, Nicholas.
I've got loads more.
Okay, so give us one more, and then we'll give the names of everyone else's.
Okay, I'm gonna say one of my top anticipated movies, because I'm such a massive fan of his music, is Michael, and this is the biopic of Michael Jackson.
I've heard about this. Yeah,
this is directed by Anton Fuqua, who also did the Equalizer movies and Training Day,
which is most especially incredible,
an incredible film. It's also Michael Jackson is played by one of his own family members. I think it might be his nephew. Who's the son of Tito or one of his brothers. But already the trailer looks to bring about that sort of glitz and glam. Saying this, I know there's a sort of trend of curse of biopics, but I just don't believe the magnitude already of his stardom will glaze that over. I think
people
want to see.
Do you think they'll touch on any of the problematic stuff? It kind of be tough to do, wouldn't it?
No, it is tough to do, and if it's done by if it has the family involvement, they're not going to touch that
a lot.
Yeah,
I'm more interested in how they made the music and what that means to people, his fans as well. He's still got a fan base even after all the
of course,
problems and such, and you know. They could probably do that. They've done that in other films as well, the Leaving Neverland documentary that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
So they've touched on that. And I think maybe it's about time they, you know, if people are going to get the treatment of biopic, this is definitely one they should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. Interesting bloke.
100%.
There was a documentary on Normal Telly a few years back about Michael Jackson with him in it, kind of following him around. And the main bit I remember of it was this shopkeeper whose life was basically made. So Michael Jackson goes in there with his crew and he likes this kind of big Greco pillar type thing.
Yeah.
And I just remember he was like, oh, this is great. How much does this cost? And the shopkeeper, it took like a second. Then he was like, that's $1 million. And Michael Jackson was like, I'll take two of them. And I just thought, what a day for this bloke. That was probably
Martin Bashir.
Yeah, or maybe,
That documentary, yeah.
But the old shopkeeper is probably like, maybe it was worth about 500 quid. He just sort of went for it. And Michael Jackson's like, oh, I have two.
I'm loving your Michael Jackson impression.
Well, actually, I'm going to be starring in the biopic. Oh. Yeah, no, that will be good. I sometimes like biopics. I mean, not that it's about what I think, but I find they have to work a bit harder for me to like them. Mm-hmm. I don't rule them out. Loved the Queen one for various reasons. Really liked Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash one. There's some really good ones. I find they do have to work quite hard to get me in, but
dependable on star power for certain.
Yeah. And Anton Fuqua is that Training Day is an unreal film. So he brings even a bit of that.
I just want to name the ones that I have left.
Yes, yeah,
I've got the drama. Got Street Fighter, They Will Kill You.
Is Street Fighter the game?
Yeah.
Ooh, but
I've got that on
you
as well.
You win.
The trailers come out, it looks utterly ridiculous, and I say...
That's what you want.
You want that.
If you want that, yeah. I've got Mother Mary as well, an Anne Hathaway movie, and the most recent one I think coming out is Wuthering Heights, which is out in February.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah.
By Emerald Fennell, who made Saltburn.
Yeah, which I really liked. A lot of people weren't too keen on, but I enjoyed that.
Controversial.
Strange,
film.
But
and
yeah.
This is going,
mad film.
Controversial.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which I think she'd probably quite enjoy, once you've been through that and come out unscathed, I think she'll probably quite enjoy annoying some purists with that one.
This is going to annoy so many people. This is Emily Bronte. It's a classic kind of...
Yeah, and she's kind of saint.
Emily Bronte.
Yeah. Must not be messed with. Yeah. When does that come out? Because I'd like to see it.
13th of Feb.
Oh, okay. So
we'll probably have it then.
Yeah, I look forward to us chatting about that.
We do. Yeah, we'll have it on sale in a week.
I'm hoping one of you might have seen that before the next one, so I'd like to talk about that.
Yeah.
Great. Roberto and Sandra, just give the rest of your list if you've got any, just so people know what's coming up.
Sure. I've also got The Social Reckoning, which is the sequel to The Social Network.
Oh, man.
Directed by Aaron Sorkin this time.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a follow-up.
Still Zuckerberg.
Still Zuckerberg.
What happened next?
What happened next? Yeah, and how he became a
the worst man in the world, so, if he wasn't already.
Some poor sod's going to probably have to play Nick Clegg in this film, yeah. I imagine. That's mad. Yeah.
Yes, I had also the drama as well, which I'm really looking forward to. Also, got to mention The Odyssey, because we are The Odyssey.
Yeah. Oh, I heard this is going to cause a bit of confusion for us, but I'm hoping might drive a bit of accidental traffic our way.
I'm hoping so. We're going to make a big deal about it.
We're going to have to do The Odyssey watches The Odyssey. That's just
The Odyssey watches.
Feels like it's all been leading to that moment.
Yeah, it's probably like the biggest film of the year, if not in box office, in like cultural impact, I think.
Also, fair play. So who directs this?
It's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Chris Nolan. I have heard that he's not trying to do anything clever with it. He is going for it. He's going to do the actual Odyssey story and just lay it out.
Which is pretty mad, because it's an epic poem, The Odyssey, but it is nearly 400 pages long.
Do we know who's playing? Is it Home? No.
It's Odysseus. It's Matt Damon.
Homer wrote it, I think. Homer wrote it. Yeah. Saying really tensive there. That really would have been a way good. Yeah, Homer Simpson, yeah.
Yeah, so Matt Damon is the main character, but the cast is just insane. It's like every big name actor in the world. Yeah. Tom Holland, Zendaya, Robert Pattinson. Many others as well. I can't even think of who else is in it. Everyone's in it.
It's going to be an epic. Yeah. It's quite literally going to be an epic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Roberto, any more?
Yeah, I had two of the same. I had the drama, as we all had the drama, actually. It's directed by Christopher Borgli, who did Dream Scenario, which was one of my favourite films of the year it came out. So really looking forward to that.
Give me a quick synopsis of what the drama is going to be about.
I don't really know. I just know Robert Pattinson and Zendaya are in a relationship, and I believe drama may happen.
Okay,
exactly. Yep, right. Might be the best explanation.
Got it.
I also had Street Fighter. Looks ridiculous, but also looks like the action's going to be good. And then my only other one was Look Back, directed by Hirokazu Koreeda. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favourite directors, and this is an adaptation of a really emotional manga/animated film you can watch on Prime, actually. It's actually only like an hour long.
Yeah.
So if you want to cry really hard in a short amount of time, watch that on Prime.
And go and watch Hand It, and then go home and watch that on Prime.
And,
just,
and then
don't get up for the next few days.
Version coming out later. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, 26 good stuff. Is a massive movie. For
it me. Sounds it's like it. Yeah.
Movies.
Honestly, I would say
June 3.
We didn't
even June 3.
Oh my God, yeah.
As well.
Genuinely, you've got me really excited about some cinema movies this year. There's loads of good ones, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's excellent. Yeah. Well, chaps, thank you so much. That's been great. Only because he came up earlier, I think we'll say goodbye and happy new year to everyone. I'm going to have to ask for it in the style of Michael Jackson.
Knew you were going to play.
Right, Sam, let's have you first, please.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Happy New Year.
Oh, dear.
Shalom.
Say goodbye to the fantasy.
Very good. Nick, please.
Thanks for listening to the policy, everyone. Shamona!
We're going to have a mob out there.
Thank you all. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And now, beat it. You're welcome. You're welcome. Say goodbye, Vinny.
Bye, everyone.
Cheers, chaps.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to drop us a line here at the policy, you can email me at neil.roger@mix926.com. With your thoughts on the show, your views on the films we've talked about, and if you're feeling brave, you could do our next intro or set our next final challenge. You can find out all about what's on at the Odyssey or what's going on with Mix 92.6 FM by checking out the websites and searching them on all the socials, where they can both be found.